Welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's fair to say that we are both broken men tonight.
We are. I'm tired. Had a big night last night. My voice is gone. But Nick, we did a podcast. It was called the Round 16 Podcast this year, where we talked about the worst losses we've suffered as Richmond supporters. And it was remarkable how many were doing in the last round of the season, where we just had to win to make the eight. We've never won the last round to make the eight until last night.
I know. It was just an overwhelming sense of relief. The problem I had was that you were at the game and I was out on Rundle Street in Adelaide, where our win had just knocked the Crows out of the finals and everyone was talking about it. And the mood actually got kind of dark.
Well, I can tell you, while the moon might have been dark for you, I was hugging strangers. There were high fives all around. It was a very powerful moment. I think the moment where Dusty broke free, and it was very clear on the game because he was coming towards the Richmond end that he was free and no one was going to catch him because Teddy Richards had fallen over. I can't remember a more exciting moment in a football game since 1995.
I know, so that's at least the third match ceiling goal that Dusty's kicked this year. It's just it's fantastic.
And remarkable. And aside from one or two other moments of sublime skill, he played terribly.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day.
And then he did that and he, you know, probably actually was unlucky not to kick the another goal in the last. He just so money late.
I know. So, you and I had lengthy and mediocre careers in amateur footy, and we at least had the good fortune that the year before we started, they resod the oval. So, we never had to play a home game on a surface anything like as bad as 44 professional footballers had to do on Saturday night. That was a dog track.
It was, and it was a Swans football game, and look, it was
at least at the SCG, it has a decent surface.
I'm not complaining about playing there. It's bigger. We get more space.
It's not that much bigger, though. That's because...
Yeah, but they play so much better at the SCG.
They do play better at the SCG, but they're
very happy to be there.
They're both narrow grounds. Just SCG is shorter, so it's really in tight. But, yeah, ANZ is longer.
So it was a funny game, Nick, watching it live. Aside from the first quarter where we're still moving it through the
first quarter was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we came up. I mean, let's focus on that before we move on. You know, we came out. We were up 33-0, Nick.
I know.
We're up 28-15 plus 13 in the contested possessions when we're up by 33 points. We only won the contested possession count by 16. So we basically did it all in the first half of the first quarter.
Jack was great. Griff was great. The defence was hardly letting the ball get past half back. Ivy was dominating.
Lids was amazing. They were playing fantastic football, now blitzing it, they were moving through the centre. But we all knew, well, I don't know about you, but in no way did I relax for a second.
Well, we saw this in the Swans game last time we played them. We got out to a 4-goal lead. We're all over them in the first half, and they just pegged them back. They're a very good football team.
Yeah, and in no way did a moment did I and did anyone in the ground relax, and I certainly didn't. And you know, just that day, both Essendon and Carlton had given up 30-point leads in the game. It's modern football, but we came out on fire, and we were playing really good football, and we're moving it through the centre, and then it was just three quarters of Swans football, arm wrestle football.
Slog, slog, slog.
And Nick, I can't statistically... The Age actually has a really good article today about what's the difference in Richmond between last year. And statistically, you can't really find it. I mean, we'll analyse this more at the end of the year, and I'm sure we'll find something with enough work, because we always do. But, you know, they mentioned our kicking efficiency has slightly improved. You know, it's not a big difference. But what I really notice, and in close games last year, and we didn't play that many close games against good teams last year, but in close games this year, it feels like we can handle multiple forward entries and not concede goals. I can't statistically prove it yet, but, you know, in all these games, we've really been able to, in the difficult times, hasn't felt like helter-skelter football, which sometimes what it did last year. And and maybe I'm overly influenced by the Carlton games, which always turned into these sort of horrible games where it felt like anyone was going to score at any one moment and became chaotic. We felt structured and disciplined right to the last moment. And I had confidence in our defence. I didn't think Adam Goods was going to kick the match winner.
No.
I know he had three chances, but I actually wasn't worried about him.
No, look, he had three chances under heavy pressure each time. I have a lot more confidence in our transition defence than I used to. Like, we used to be good at bottling up the play for a few minutes, but if the ball would get out the back, the other team would sweep it down the other end of the ground, overlapping runner. You know, North Melbourne game last year was awful.
I mean, there's one thing where we've also changed the way we move the football ourselves, which makes it easier to defend. Like, in the latter parts of the game, it was remarkable, Nick. It was like, I haven't seen football like that since the Northie era. Knew exactly where we were going to kick it.
Well, I didn't actually. It's lucky you're sitting down, because I read something interesting in the Inside Footy this week.
Yeah, cool.
That teams deliberately kicking, when they go long to the boundary line, they go long to the side where the interchange bench is, so that they can get rotations done quickly when there's an opportunity.
Oh, yeah, and it was obvious. Everyone knew in the last where the game was the ball was going. But the thing it meant was the ball went out. The other team was 1.5 kicks from goal, because when the ball goes long out from a kick point, 70 metres into the boundary, you need it twice to get a decent kick twice. All our players either were in the contest or were structuring up if we lost. So we were very sound defensively. And you could see it throughout the game. And that's how we've sort of played the last few weeks. And if we had turnover, it's not a disaster. The other team doesn't have free plates running through. And guys like Gordon, he's great at defending the switch. You know, he doesn't, you know, tactically you can really see it. There he is off sprinting, covering space once again. Like, he's not great when he gets the football. But you know what, Nick? He's a classic modern footballer.
Do you know that Alex Rance and Sam Reed earn about the same amount of money?
It's quite amazing. Well, good for Sam Reed for getting paid that much. He did kick a great goal.
Yeah, look, he's a good player. Like, there wouldn't be many teams that have a fourth key forward as good as he is. But someone who's getting, I suspect he's getting paid more money than any single individual Richmond footballer in Kirk Tippett. He had half as many disposals as Alex Rance had intercept disposals.
Yeah, I mean, he was just brilliant. It's been pointed out that in the last quarter, of Rance's 16 disposals, 12 of them came through intercepts. Like, that's pretty amazing if you think, you know, 12 times you went and got your own ball, and that doesn't count all the punches, all the last minutes touches he did.
Mm. He almost had as many contested marks as the Sydney Swans.
He was absolutely dominant. It was such a fantastic game. And him and Chaplin, he's sort of his partner in crime, who's not his equal, but he's just playing so well off.
He had a very good game.
How can a 28-year-old, he's 28, isn't he? How can a 28-year-old go from so bad to so good? No, like, he had a preseason, and he was terrible at the start of the year. Now Chaplin is a brilliant player. We have two great key backs.
Well, he was bad at the start of last year as well. I always fall back on, there must be something physical to it, because there's no explicable reason to it. Like, our defence is playing so well at the moment. I actually thought Adam Goods, you know, I have a lot of respect for Adam Goods, and everyone should, you know, Brownlow medalist, you know, all his work off the field as well. But he's an ageing champion just trying to get a few calls from the refs, because
he does get quite a few of them too.
He does. Well,
at the ground, the people, he really copped it about that staging.
The staging.
He actually, afterwards, he provoked the crowd. He
I'm okay. Look, he's the oldest key forward in the AFL. Like, to be doing what he's doing is fantastic, but yeah, he's barely hanging on.
Yeah, it wasn't good what he did with the staging. It's not like in his stage in his career. For what he brings outside the game, he doesn't need to do that on field. But it was such a long, grinding arm wrestle. It was just so nice to get out over the top.
Yeah, yeah. And having sort of lost almost exactly the same game against Sydney last time to a few bits of buddy magic, like, It was just such a relief.
Nick, in the second and third quarter...
Which were hard to watch.
They were. Do you know the only shots at goal, the substantive shots at goal? Two of them were from Lyd's 50s. Also, it was Jack 50 and a Gordon holding the ball for a kick. And I think we only got, because it happened at the Richmond end and the crowd talked the umpire into the holding the ball with plenty of noise. The Lyd's was so important in that game.
He was. 29 disposals, 3 goals. You know, a guy who was athletic enough to run away from the contest. I thought it was really interesting because it's such a high pressure game. You know, conditions were poor footing, slippery ball, fierce pressure from the other team. Like, some guys really stood up under the pressure. Like, Anthony Miles, you know, you hardly need to say any more about him, but he wasn't intimidated by the occasion or the pressure.
No, another high clearance game. You know, just got his mid-20s and his contested football, put plus 10 contested possessions. Actually, just on Lyd's, well, we've said it off air, I haven't said it on the show. Never quite forgiven him for his last quarter in the Carlton game last year. And today went a long time to, like, seeing him, he doesn't play well in big games. I think that's been out there. I think that's dead now.
Yep, we've moved past that. Speaking of big names, Chimp had 4 more contested disposals than anybody else on the ground.
Yeah, he was hard at it. I actually watched this game again. He did, this just in, Dan Hannanbury's a really good player.
He is a very good player.
And he did actually beat Chimp in the last quarter, but when Chimp was dominating, he wasn't on Hannanbury.
Oh, yeah.
So it was sort of it was a back and forth, but yeah, he was 21 contested possessions. He was...
That's mammoth.
And he had 5 more at halftime. He really wanted to win that game.
Yeah. Oh, just...
Captain's game.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, have you ever seen them sing the song like that?
No, I thought it was Grant's when Rant said easily, like straight after the game when he was speaking, he's most honestly, he said, you know, that's easily the best win I've been in, which was, it was pretty powerful. And it was interesting. He said, we wanted to win it for Newey.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah.
Shane Edwards could have won us the game.
He cracked the magic Shane Edwards 22 possession goal. No, Nick, he didn't could have. Like, he was the one who kicked the ball to Dusty. He could have made the game less stressful.
No, but he's kicked 3 behinds, I mean, including that the set shot miss was, oh, God. Yeah.
After being really good on set shots this year.
But he was, in such a high pressure circumstances, he was our most creative player. Like, he had a really good game.
He did. Look, if he was at that level every week, I mean, he'd be all Australian.
Just be thrilled.
I mean, he's such a good inside player. He's so skillful with the ball.
Yeah. We love having Brandon Ellis, just that burst, gut-bursting run to create an option coming out of defence. Like, 27 disposals. And he did quite a bit of it whilst... copping a lot of pressure from the Swans. Right? It wasn't a great game. He didn't do much going forward, but I thought it was a very good game.
I think so. If I was bought this week, I would have a very tight tag in him, because I think finals football, Adelaide Oval, dry track, that is just made for Brandon Ellis. Like, last Saturday night was not a game for outside mids, but he still was very effective.
Guys who didn't stand up under the pressure. I mean, pretty obviously getting subbed halfway through the third quarter.
He had a terrible...
Ricky Petter.
Ricky Petter, yeah. He did have a terrible sequence of play. Someone mentioned, and we should mention that we felt a bit bad after bagging out Thomas. His last game, I think it was Essendon, sort of played terribly, and then he hasn't played football since, so he was clearly injured. So we felt a bit bad about that. And, you know, he did fail to bend down for a few kicks, so I wondered whether he was injured too. But that's he was playing badly. Not for the whole game, but that third quarter he was just not playing well.
As well. I thought Morris was okay defensively, but some of his disposals was pretty bad.
Yeah, some of them were. I'm glad they were worse life. It's an ongoing worry.
Another worry for me: a lack of winning forwards one on one, like that. That was. They had on the commentary at a stint where We had 16 inside 50s and kicked one goal one. Now, Sydney are a very good team defensively, but...
It is hard, though. Like, I mean, they so rarely did they... I mean, they weren't... Mm. They're so rarely one-on-one. Mm. And
it's true. Yeah, there was loose men back all...
For
all
both night. Teams.
Yeah, yeah, which contributed to the standard of spectacle.
Yeah, yeah. And so it is hard. I mean, we had by far the best forward on the ground.
Mm.
And you'd probably say that Ben Griffiths was a sick... No, he didn't kick any goals. But, you know, Ben Griffiths was...
He was solid.
Yeah.
I didn't think that the Swans defenders took the approach that if they held Jack on every single play, they wouldn't get called.
Yeah, no, it was remarkable, a couple of free kicks that got played to other players when Jack just never gets paid them. But, you know, he was overall extremely effective, kicked the most goals of anyone on the ground. You know, he was an extremely influential game. Mm. Yeah, that last shot, though, his goal in the last, God, he almost missed that shot.
Yeah.
That was stressful.
from where he kicked it as well.
I think he motioned to Lids after he kicked it. Like, he made about a foot. Size gesture, and that was how much he kicked it by.
Yeah. You mentioned Gordon's defensive pressure. Like, if he's going to play that forward pocket role, like, he's got to dispose of the ball under a lot of pressure. Yeah, that's a work in progress for him.
It is. Like, he's a very modern football to me. It was interesting, Hardwick this week was interviewed about the season, and gave the most bland workshop answer for what changed in the season. But he did talk very much about his distinction between role players and guns.
Mm.
And Gordon is the very epitome of a modern role player. You know, put in there cheaply, he's got one attribute, he's really strong. He's there to play a role in modern football.
Mm.
And because, you know, you can't get 22 guys who are good footballers anymore. You know, you need a few guys who are, you know, good athletes, or you've cobbled together players from somewhere else, and he's one of them.
I know. It's a bit frustrating.
Still kicked a nice goal, got that hold in the ball. So, you know, he's going to hold his spot, and he's very important defensively.
He is. Yeah, that jackrabbiting up and down the ground. I couldn't help but think about, you know, look, it's a lost season for him, but Chris Knight's in a half-forward role, taking a turn in midfield, kicking goals, it'd make a difference.
It would, but we'd lose something in transition defence. Mm. Anyway, good thought, though. Other people you want to talk about?
Well, we've mentioned Ivy already, and look, he was up against a first gamer, but
yeah. Just not going to go down in history as one of the best first W games.
No. But just his work rate, clearance work.
Good sure hands.
Good sure hands. Getting back to fill the hole. Presenting on the wing when he, you know, he's getting three guys jumping on his back. Just a huge effort.
I know Vlossy's numbers are down, but he's doing some good stuff on his pressure acts and things like that.
He's
like
good defensively, and what he does do, he does well. Like, that for me is the big point of hope with Vlossy, is that as he gets more tank, he'll get to more contests and win the same proportion of them. Because he's a good, classy footballer.
Yeah, I thought the sub was well played. Now, admittedly, Pedard made it fairly easy, as we've discussed. Mm. But it was a good time to bring on Conker, and Arthur didn't do anything brilliant. You know, he worked hard.
Yeah,
he ran up and down the field.
Seven disposals in the last quarter, certainly.
Got enough of the ball as a sub. Did the subs roll. Well, like, he was one of the... Lids had 18 touches in the last half, but, you know, 12 in quarter and a half. It's, you know, other than Hannabury, he's one of the more influential mids on the ground in the last.
Mm. Sydney put a lot of work into Bashahuli, shutting him down. Like, he only had 11 disposals, which is about half his normal average.
Yeah, which is what I do when I play Richmond too.
Mm.
So, yeah, he was well down, but, you know, it's, I guess you got the nice thing was we managed that.
Mm. Yeah, and, you know, it is a pretty even team. Like, you know, yeah, we got quite a good game out of Sean Grigg.
I thought so too, and he did some clever things, but that's sort of... It's what you have to do in football. And they were mentioning that Edwards didn't really have anyone on him. Edwards stepped up when, because, you know, Chimp was, no one was really on him early, but someone was very much on him late. That, you know, he other people got off the leash when one or two people were tightly manned.
knew he was okay, I thought. Lost his footing a couple of times, but he was hardly alone on that one.
No, Rowan, there was a few times when he got caught with Rowan in too much space.
That's a tough matchup, though.
It is, but it turned out about as well as you'd expect it to.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a fantastic...
God, what a relief to win one.
It is. Win one of those. And it just feels like, Nick, and I can't back this up, it just feels like last year we would have lost it.
Yeah.
I know there's nothing to prove that we're a better team than we are last year, but it just feels like we are.
Look, nine in a row. Like, it's unbelievable to think where we were.
And it's... And it requires so much strength, because everyone... Even the really good teams put in shockers occasionally. Yeah. You know, the motivation goes down.
It's hard to be up every week.
I mean, just think about last year when twice in the last 2-3 years, we've absolutely flogged the Hawks, who are a great team, and they've come out and out against us and got spanked. 9 weeks in a row, we've played really good football, and we've won. And it is something that's, you know, really special and to be celebrated, and a sign of a great team ethos.
It is unbelievable that the same team that's, you know, just reeled off wins, you know, in the last 5 weeks, we've beaten 4 of the top 10 teams, and we lost to Melbourne.
And Western Bulldogs, and, like, played some really bad football. We went a quarter and a half without scoring against Geelong. Like, you know, we played some terrible football at the start of the year, and now, you know, we're not world beaters, but we're playing very respectable bottom. We deserve to be in the finals. We've beaten all the teams around us.
It's great. I'm so happy.
Oh, it's fantastic. And what a roller coaster ride.
I know.
And Nick, I did want to say something about this, that and I credit to SJ Ross on Twitter, who's I'll circulate his blog post later. About the game, which I'm looking forward to, but the sort of the difference now in this team, I've heard from good sources that Ty Vickery apparently is just training the house down. He's trained harder in the last 4 weeks than he ever has.
Oh, that's
good.
He's
so desperate to get back in. And, you know, that now that the sort of the people in the peripheral know how hard, and there's something really good to get into the team, and that they know how hard it is to get in. Like, it's hard to get in now, even if you're a senior player, a decent senior player like Vickery. Just, it's such a, we've come from so far from where we used to be.
I know. He, for me, is the only selection wildcard, unless somehow Dan Jackson's injuries got a lot better. He's the only selection wildcard.
Yeah, I agree. But potentially with, you know, Dan Jackson's there and you drop the worst performing midfielder, I don't know.
If Jackson's fit, Petto goes out. That's easy for me.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it all depends on... The thing is, we played a lot of wet games in a row where you're not going to play 3 tall forwards. And it'll be interesting because at Port Adelaide, you know, it's hot in Adelaide. It might be a completely different style of game. And that's not necessarily something to fear, but it just means, you know, it could mean quite a tactical change. A more sort of the traditional Hardwick-style Richmond game, and maybe you go 3 tools for that.
Mm. Port Adelaide, if you look... Well, moving on to Port.
Just before we do, let's talk about Newman.
Well,
250th game. Yeah. And, well, it was a magic moment when he was being cheered off. Actually, people said, oh, Newman's getting cheered off. And so everyone got back up and was cheering because we're all sort of cheering, slapping each other on the back. And we sort of all turned and cheered Newman off. And we discussed off air.
Hmm.
We sort of thought this was a valedictory game.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, aside from the fact he played his best game of the week, of the season the week before last, on tape, on field, he's just going. You know, let's be honest. He's not. We love him. We've said many positive things about his leadership. And I was sort of a bit down on the re-signing. I thought it was a very conservative move. But the thing that, not just my natural sort of inclination to rationalise everything Richmond does has been positive. The two things that have made me more positive about this was Benny Gale's tweet. He said that he single-handedly turned the culture of the club around and restored pride in the jumper, which is a very powerful thing for a prisoner. And the other one was Rance saying, you know, Rance just raved about what Newman did for his career. And, you know, that he'd be delisted at another club right now because of Newman. And, you know, little people saying things like that, it does change your opinion.
Well, and I had a boring work meeting last week and did my list of guys potentially leaving at the end of the year. And, yeah, I got to 9 without including Newey. So, you know, maybe it's a situation where you do carry someone, particularly if he's not, you know, he's on the veterans list and he's not costing much money.
Anyway, congratulations on a fantastic 250, and he gets to play finals again after all those years without finals.
Well, and Axel Foley gets to play finals as well in his 154th game.
Yeah, that was great. Great tweet by the way. There's just one last thing I wanted to say at the game, Nick. There was a bloke, because we're all sitting the Richmond supporters together, there was a bloke sort of sitting about 50 metres from me who was calling out the time left. And so it was like a minute, and then it was 45 seconds because we were listening to the radio. And so when there was 15 seconds left, everyone stood up and waited for the siren. It was just a great communal moment, and a lot of hugs. Anyway,
a lot of hugs.
We digress. Foley, Newman, they all going in the finals this week. We're still playing after all those teams that thought that we weren't going to be part of it, mocked us. They're all not playing, and we are.
Sunday afternoon, I was at a barbecue talking to a bloke who 6 weeks ago bet a guy $200 that Collingwood would finish above Richmond and Richmond wouldn't make the finals. So if he put that money on a bookmaker, he would have been what? Got about 1-6 odds.
Yeah.
So he would bet $200 and got about $35 back. So he's made this fantastic bet and he's lost it.
I hope you had no sympathy for him.
No, none whatsoever. So we're playing Port Adelaide, and Port Adelaide are very beatable. They're a good side, but they are very beatable.
We have had a good record against them. In Adelaide.
Yeah, we've beaten them in the last 6 weeks.
We have. They had a slightly weaker team at the time, but it's
only just slightly. And actually, that is one thing that is a bit daunting about the game is that they have no first choice players injured, which is kind of scary because we've got a short injury list, but you know,
still got Jackson through Matty White apparently is carrying something, so he's not injured. Look, he's below
senior. How many guys do you think are carrying?
Well, exactly. Yeah. So, I'm just clutching at the straw. So that, and you know, if we were to be perfectly honest, we have had a good run recently of playing teams who've had good players missing. But, it's still, they are beatable. We've beaten them. We beat them without Trent Cotchin last year.
Yeah,
in Adelaide,
they're about 14-point favourites, and their sort of bottom half dozen players aren't all that good. Which is the big area of weakness. The problem is that sort of their top 8 or so players are very good, and they're quite capable of going head to head with us in the midfield and potentially winning. That's the biggest concern.
Boak is regularly the best midfielder on the ground when they play us.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had him 3 votes last time we played them. But, you know, Corns, Big Walt, Ball Winner, Hamish Hartwood, Chad Wingart, although, you know, maybe his form's been a bit more inconsistent, but, you know, absolute fantastic.
Filling the length of the season.
Yeah, Robbie Gray, potentially all Australian half forward flanker. Ollie Warrens sort of provides a lot of depth. It just.
Great young mid. Yeah.
They're even getting some decent production out of Andrew Moore, who's Kel Moore's younger brother. Like, it worries me that depth of top-end talent.
Yeah, but you know what, Nick? I feel like at this stage of the year we're playing on the house money.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, you notice I didn't mention Jay Schultz.
Who
had a great season, deadly kick for goal, but... Yeah, we've got Alex Rance on the job. That worries me less.
Yeah, look, I'm not... I just feel like we've played so many tight competitive games now that we're going to show up. By the way, can we just reflect? A Richmond supporter just said that.
I know. That's kind of crazy. Crab? I can't see it bothering us.
Well, Nick, we seem to play better on the road.
I know, crazy. We've got one of the best records interstate of any club.
Yeah, we're 5-1. And I don't know, there was an article which I dismissed at the time. You know, it'd been interesting but not particularly relevant to a proper football analysis, saying that there's something about a big Richmond crowd that, because of all the trauma, that when things go badly, they sort of, there's a particular Richmond sigh and there's a Richmond mistake, and it affects the players too, because there's that, oh no, not again.
Yeah.
You don't get that on interstate camps, like in the heart of Kara, and you know, frankly, even the Wallace area, we've been good travellers.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
It, whatever it is, and we play well on big grounds, and you know, it might be a hard, fast track, and we might get outside and get to run and gun a bit.
Well, because Dimmer always talks about winning the contested ball, which, you know, for us is a good measure of how we're going. But for beating Port, they're really good at denying marks to the other team. They're pretty close to best in the competition in that. So that for me is, if we can crack them open outside, generate run, get overlap, guys springing free, fast direct ball movement, we can win.
We can't win. We can go in there and punt. Like, it will be tough. Our legs might be a bit dead after the week before. But
yeah, tough game.
But Port had a tough game as well. They went over to play in Western Australia. It's tough. They played, you know, one of the most physical teams in the AFL. It's going to be... I actually think, Nick, it may be, like, a really good game. And I'm just sort of... I'm trying to talk myself into relaxing and enjoying it because we're playing on house money. And you know, let's be honest. Teams that finish 5th to 8th are unusual to... It's statistically, it'd be unusual to think that it's going to be a premiership year. Now, we're all dreaming about it. I've had that fantasy too about the winning the 4 in a row.
And look, everyone's seen, you know, the form ladder where we're kind of, you know, first or second, depending on how you measure it. But, yeah.
I just want to... I want to relax and enjoy it and have a great game, which...
I know.
We win. And we go off to... we might be back in Sydney next week, Nick.
Be pretty unlikely. I reckon if we win, we're off to Fremantle the week after.
Again, though, but we've had an okay record in Fremantle. See how it keeps going and going.
No, we've already achieved the nearly impossible. Why not keep going?
Yes, we travel well on the road. We're most of the teams in the 8, other than Geelong, we've got and North, we've got a decent recent record on. Things are rolling.
Hugs all round.
Hugs all round. Oh, what a great game it was.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Town.
I used to love the roar of the crowd. Magnificent
mark taken by Walcott there. The fight kick is going to the time. It's inside, well inside. And anywhere that you can see a speaking ring. Listening here to skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Touching, just a little bit of genius.